sadly, we have to end this conversation. It was extremely interesting. But if you could just really quickly say something that people can do to support teachers and the struggle in Puerto Rico.
Well, there are a lot of schools that still don't have anything after the hurricane. If you could get in touch with Mercedes Martinez, the president of the Federation, the Teachers Federation of Puerto Rico, so that she can let you know how to best help. Also, just in solidarity with us, maybe do a post for the teachers so that people get to know what the struggles are.
Well, thank you so much, Christine, for joining us on KBOO, and thanks to our engineer. Thank you, audience, for tuning in tonight. Thank you, Stephen. This is Rachel Haynes. You've been listening to Labor Radio. Tune in next Monday and every Monday at 6 o'clock to catch another Labor Radio show.
Thank you.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor IRANFORM, U.S. Withdrawal from Nuclear Agreement and Path to War, on Friday, June 29th at 6:30 at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. The IRANFORM will feature Jamal Abdi, Executive Director of the National Iran American Council, journalist Reese Ehrlich, and local speakers in a discussion about withdrawing from the Iran nuclear deal. The sponsoring groups are involved in prevention of war and in supporting diplomacy and friendship with the people of Iran. Again, that's the Iran Forum U.S. Withdrawal from the Nuclear Agreement and Path to War on Friday, June 29th at 6:30 at the First Unitarian Church, 1211 Southwest Main Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Join KBOO and Kofallen Cultural Center on Thursday, June 14th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater for an evening of storytelling, live music, and film. Malian artist, author, and storyteller Baba Wage Jakite starts with a talk on the background of the Empire of Mali and the role of West Africa's oral historians before the screening of Keita, Heritage of the Griots, a film which blends modern events with magical realism, mythology, and history. Again, that's an evening of the culture of Mali, including the screening of the film Keita, Heritage of the Griots, on Thursday, June 14th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Baby, you understand me now.
Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. This evening, we have a guest who we're patching in on the phone here, who is a prison activist out of New York with the Incarcerated Worker Organizing Committee. And as we're discussing that organization and we're getting this person on the phone, just to give a little bit of context for this, the Incarcerated Worker Organizing Committee is a subcommittee that comes out of a union that's called the Industrial Workers of the World. So people are probably familiar a little bit with the IWW and that history of labor resistance going from really the late 1800s up until today. And so it's an important organizing tool that people are using, and IWOC started really in the last couple years. It's a fairly recent committee and is very big now in the IWW and spreading all over the country with different chapters and out of different branches. And so we have a group also in Portland as well. And so if you're more interested, you can look up the Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee. That was one organization of many that here in Portland and also all over the country were involved in supporting prisoner resistance as a result of what was called the September 9th National Prisoner Strike. It was one of the largest ones that took place nationally as far as a coordinated effort in U.S. history. And so before that, it was commemorating the insurrection that happened in Attica, if you're familiar with the Attica Rebellion that happened in the early 1970s. And so we'll be talking more about that in a minute as soon as we can patch on our guest. Also tonight, this evening, if you're just listening and you're in the Portland area, there is a call that's been happening for years now on June 11th, and that supports particularly long-term anarchist political prisoners. And there's a prisoner writing night going on this evening at the Social Justice Action Center, and that's 400 Southeast 12th. And so this is another place that is helping to support the community by having different events. So you can also look up Social Justice Action Center. And also happening at that same space are monthly prisoner writing nights, and that happens on the second Thursday of the month. Again, that's 400 Southeast 12th Avenue. And that is in Southeast Portland, Social Justice Action Center. Look that up. There's a few different resources out there. We're still trying to get our guest on, and we want to thank our wonderful engineer for doing that. We have another guest in the booth who his name is Isabella. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good to have you. So do you want to say anything about your maybe kind of knowledge of the subject? It sounds like you're very interested in the issue of mass incarceration.
Well, sure thing. I was actually on the show a couple weeks ago with Amy, as I'd mentioned before, and she interviewed me briefly to fill a segment between shows. Mm-hmm. So I spoke about how I met Amy, and Amy was recording the sessions when I was part of we were giving a presentation on basically multiple experiences in post-incarceration. So mine was one of 10 stories, I think, that were shared. Mm-hmm. And it was a really wonderful experience for me because there's definitely a sort of power and strength that comes from being able to say something out loud that normally one doesn't have the privilege to be able to share with others. So getting to talk to Amy about the writing process was it's really kind of a phenomenal thing, and it brought me back here, and it's leading me to continue to want to do it in different ways.
Right on. So, well, yeah. Thanks for being here, and we're looking forward to having you with the station on the air and all that again. So we're going to take it to our guest who is in New York City with Mr. Kevin Steele. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. How you doing?
Pretty good. We're just getting started here. We talked a little bit about Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee, a little bit about that history. Could you please talk about how you kind of got involved with that work, and also just what is the nature of the ongoing work, and what does that entail?
Yeah, so basically, I spent 10 years in prison in New York State, the maximum facility, and basically incarcerated workers reached out to actually another brother that's in there, and he know I'm actually an organizer, so he brought the information towards me, and I basically wrote them and reached out, and they reached out, and we've been working ever since, so it's actually pretty good so far. Since I've been home, mm-hmm. we've done a few study groups and a few different organizers at the same.
Great. Can you talk about what is the work that you're all doing? What kind of ongoing work is happening on the ground in New York?
Yeah, so basically right now, we have the Starbucks campaign that we're working against to try to end the prison slavery. Starbucks, they have a lot of products in Starbucks, as in like the cups, and just another product that's being made by our prisoners. So we have a campaign to try to stop that as of now. We have an inside-outside study group organization that deals with political education.
Mm-hmm. And so can you talk about the kind of the difference, I guess, like being outside, doing the work, and then initially being inside, being reached out to, and what is that kind of experience like? What did you find that was helpful as far as people from the outside trying to reach out to you and touch base and maybe support what was going on in your life?
Yeah, so basically when a lot of the brothers that's in prison need a lot of help, and it's hard to actually have organizations reach out to people that's in prison. So when I had the opportunity to connect with ours, it makes it more easier for one to make a change within the facility that you're in, because you have an outside force that's gonna back you while you're in there making your mark against.
Mm-hmm.
So the outside help, it helps you build more. Say it again.
No, go ahead.
Say that one more time.
Can you talk a little bit about maybe, you know, sort of a rhetorical question, but the importance of people who were formerly incarcerated taking the lead on prison activism today?
Yeah, so yeah, that's very important, obviously, because we know the intent, we know what it's about. So we have more of an insight. We have more of an insight of what's going on, but it's very important because we're the ones that we know the ins and outs.
So from in New York State, can you talk about some of the particular things inside that, again, on the ground that people are struggling with day to day that might be, could be similar, but maybe different even from other facilities around the country or other states?
Can you ask that one more time?
Can you talk about basically what are the kind of things that are affecting prisoners in New York State in particular compared to maybe other states?
Yeah, so in New York, one thing, it's the way the policies are set up. As I said, facilities, different facilities have their own policies, basically. So that can actually affect one from taking one prison to another prison with a mentality that all prisoners are going the same, which is not the case. So that's a trial that you have to overcome. And then like the other things, like it's the environment, the water is polluted, that has like a bad effect on the food and the housing. But the main, what we do in Ottawa, New York City, our fight is against they have a work industry, a co-op industry company, and that's big in New York because they have, this is a billion-dollar company that gets a lot of their labor done by prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that affects us, like family, because this is our same job in prison. If you don't have a family or friends or anyone that's actually going to like help you, like further, this is where a lot of people want to, and this is slavery in the modern day.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that we have to actually try to like thread. We have to thread the cycle, but we also have to teach, like, finance and stuff, because you have to show them different ways, different ways to make money. But we also have to abolish this modern day slavery.
So
going to focus.
Right. So your organization nationally has this message that is explicitly about abolishing prisons and you know, ending prisons. Can you talk about what that means to you, and what would our society look like basically without prisons? What are the alternatives?
Yeah, so me, the alternative to prison is real life programs that's gonna help the young brothers and sisters, because there's a cycle that's put into the urban communities and like for the poor undeveloped communities. There's a cycle that they're not being funded proper education, and the school system messed up. We lead to low paying jobs lead to bad income, bad neighborhoods, and the bad neighborhoods lead to crime. So it's not the people that's actually bad. It's the circumstances and the environment that you put one in. And the environment is only like this because the government's not funding these communities with these. Yeah, they're funding, the government is funding more prisons. They're paying for more people to sleep in prison than actual housing. So if they were to take this money and put it where it's needed, there would be less crime. And actually, this so-called America is actually becoming that we'd be more comfortable to live in, so there would be less crime. But the money's not being put into the right places. The money's being placed to build this prison.
For folks just tuning in, you're listening to Prison Pipeline, broadcasting from the studios of KBOO Portland. We're here with Kevin Steele from the Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee. And we're talking about the kind of work that's ongoing in New York State and the kind of things that affect particular prisoners there. Kevin, can you talk about, for people who want to get involved and help and might want to, or thinking about, you know, writing to somebody inside and getting involved in that way, can you explain kind of maybe some pointers, how to do that and kind of what that's like? Because some people have kind of misconceptions about writing to people that are inside. They're worried about, you know, what they should talk about or what they shouldn't talk about when they write to folks. So can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so for me, I taught while I was in prison on history. I did a lot of lectures on history, so you have to speak on more of what you know. You have to be able to expound on the things that, you know, I have a vast knowledge of Black history, so that's a way I was able to reach out to people and be able to show my struggle through the Black history, the Black experience. So that's the best way to actually do that, is find the subject, find the topic that you're actually strong in, and continue to build on that and make connections through that. That's the best way to do it.
What would you say to folks who were, I don't know, you know, nervous about writing to people inside?
Say that again?
What would you say to people who might be kind of nervous about writing to people inside?
Yeah, it's, these people are not, they're not different from you and I, because we are here. These people are not these dangerous men that they, all the sisters, they're not these dangerous people that they make them out to be. They misunderstood. So, this right.
He's been bad, bro.
Say it again?
Yeah, no, please say more about it.
Hey, yo, kill that light.
Oh, yeah, just, I encourage, like, with the organization, I encourage them to just write. Like, to try to, not to write as if they're the criminal. You write to get to them personally. I, like, just to reach out a hand as a friend, and then you build.
So can you talk more about some ongoing work in New York and what kind of things are going on there?
I know.
Yeah, so I was recently a part of the youth for Stop the Violence March. This was 2 weeks ago. We had a march to stop the gun violence. So that's one move that we actually we have that's pretty it's running pretty strong right now. We have the campaign for Momia Abu Jamal that we work on heavy. So we have this Bronx Social Center in the Bronx in New York where we invite people to come through and to learn so we can, because the more it's say it again.
So like political education?
Yeah, it's political education. We try to, because it's not enough to just go out there and just be cool. It's just, you have to know exactly what it is. You have to know the difference, the way the government is working. So.
Mm-hmm. And then
we try to teach on that a lot.
And you're also doing radio work now, right? The podcast?
Yeah. We work with Black Talk Radio Network, where we try to do every frequently. I just recently did another segment on prison slavery on Friday, actually. So that should be going up sometime this week. We work with the Black Talk Radio Network family.
So can you talk about that program, Black Talk Radio?
Say it again.
Can you talk more about that program?
Yeah, so Black Talk Radio, it's a political radio show online, and it has we're eventually trying to get syndicated. That deals with
looks like our guest is having some technical difficulties on the phone here. And we're going to try to patch them back in a minute. So since we have our guest here also in the booth, I'm going to ask you another question, which was you were talking about some writing events that you were doing. What was the writing about?
So there was a group of us. We met about monthly for about, 4 or 5 months. And the writing was... Well, everybody had a different story to share, right? Mm-hmm. And the idea was that we all came together with one reason, and that reason being we had experienced incarceration within our lives to different extents and obviously for different reasons, and we were there to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So for some people, that ended up being a story of what they went through within prison walls that fundamentally changed who they were.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think all of our stories somehow were about that, really. So,
how was that organized? Was that through a particular organization, or was it just a more of a community effort to bring that together?
Well, I do know that it was particularly because of one person's efforts. I know that she had also coordinated with a director,
mm-hmm.
But I'm not... I think it was... her efforts and also grant funding by the Regional Arts Council.
Oh, okay.
That kind of put this together.
Mm-hmm. So then what I hear you saying, it was predominantly all female identified persons, or?
No, it was a mix of us.
Oh, okay.
I think we were pretty evenly split, actually.
Oh, okay.
Men and women.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there were different, when you look at all the different experiences, what do you think were some striking either differences or similarities on either side?
I think what all of us found kind of funny is that when we came down to it, we would sit at the table, and so many of us that had experienced so much for so many years didn't know exactly where to start.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because we each thought that we had something, and we did have something we wanted to say. And I think it was a common experience that it was difficult to really figure out what it was,
mm-hmm.
and to actually put it down on paper.
Mm-hmm. When you say starting, you mean like when you're going to tell your story, where would you start kind of thing? Is that what you were getting at, or?
To start a story?
Yeah, is that, well, you mentioned starting, so I didn't know if that's what you meant.
Partly, yes. But really, I guess what I'm talking about is just the idea of what do you say when you're trying to convey to somebody else the extent of what you have, like what you feel in your life, mm-hmm. what you've experienced, when it's more than just words.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a really ambiguous thing to grasp. And it's hard sometimes to put that into a story and to start it and really feel like it's yours.
Because mm-hmm. it's like so personal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what is it that you are open to probably, I guess, disclose, if you will, within the whole, you know, history of that experience?
As in what would I disclose now or when I was sharing?
Oh, I meant in that context, yeah, right. of the sharing and, you know, because you know you're in a cohort of people, but then versus, I mean, actually, yeah, you know, being on the radio or whatever where it's like kind of public.
Mm-hmm. And it was really a privilege to be able to sit there with people who, like, just to see everybody talk about what they did want to share, what they didn't, you know, and the brainstorming process and just to see what experiences we did have in common and others that we could relate to or maybe not, but that we were open to hearing it. And
mm-hmm.
that was my sense of being in that room with everybody else.
Mm-hmm. And what are the kind of benefits of this kind of group? Is it going to happen again? And how would people get involved with it if that was going to be the case?
Well, I don't believe that it's really a recurring event.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the person who had hosted this hosted something similar the year before, but rather than for formerly incarcerated persons, it was for the family of those incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not entirely sure of her plans for anything in the future, but I wouldn't be surprised if there are other opportunities like you'd mentioned earlier. Actually, I'm curious about checking out.
Sure, we'll probably mention those again before we wrap up too. But yeah, because there's a lot of other resources, like Liberation Literacy was on mm-hmm. the program the other month, and that's also, you know, consisting of people who are or are not formally incarcerated on the outside, but then working with people who are locked up and doing reading and writing groups. And so it seems like there's that kind of trend going on, really positive trend to this kind of in-reach that's going on with people outside, but doing it through arts and music and writing and kind of creative expression
mm-hmm.
and these kind of uplifting things, right? Because normally it's everything we talk about is so it's kind of sad, if you will, right? And so
right.
then these are the positive things that are going on and people are inside, you know, working on themselves or helping to even make the society better, you know, even though people might not think that they are, you know, contrary to, you know, kind of the misconceptions basically about people that are inside, right?
I think one of the things I discovered when I was in Coffee Creek was that being put in this environment where everybody to some extent was forced to experience basically sameness,
mm-hmm.
like a lot of things are taken away from you and your identity at the surface level. I found that it really brought people to this place of openness. And not everybody. You could see that there's different struggles and challenges. We're all human. And
mm-hmm.
so, I mean, it takes a while to adjust to being in prison. But that openness is what makes, I think, creativity one of the most probably advantageous tools to people in that, you know, in that circumstance, or just, I think, a lot of people in life. And
mm-hmm.
It definitely changed me when I was there. It changed my perspective to be able to start thinking differently and to be able to be more open and to other people, or also to that experience of creating something.
Mm-hmm. Could you say a little bit more about that, if you don't mind? I mean, what kind of, because obviously, you know, life itself is always like a transition, and every couple of years we're almost like can be different people. Maybe some mm-hmm. people live there, I don't know, 50 years, like the same thing, but ideally not, you know?
Right.
So could you talk about that? I mean, what would you say would be like, I mean, is it just the experience that's different? But I mean, obviously you're changing too. So what kind of things are going on there?
So I think one of the key issues or one of the key parts of that was that within prison, I really cut, like the fact that I was there cut back on distractions in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what helped me hone in on this key part of myself that's like dang, I need something more in life than what I've been, you know, what I've had. I need to find something deeper. So I think that that's something that most, that we have access to. Like, I would assume, or I believe that, you know, as human beings, we all have that kind of little spark inside of us, even it's turned on by different things, right? But being in prison helped me get in touch with that. And so because I discovered that there, I was able to made sure I held on to it after I left as well. And that to me is what connects with creativity, or with whether it's like writing or playing instruments, or, you know, even connecting to other human beings is like a form of creativity. I think all of that stems from that place.
Right on. Well, thanks a lot for sharing all that and also helping to fill the gap with our other guests. And we also want to thank him again. We'll have him back on. That's Mr. Kevin Steele, based in New York with the Incarcerated Worker Organizing Committee. And Isabella, who's with us now at the station, and will be hopefully sooner again than later. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. I want to again thank our guests, our wonderful engineer, Michael Vitalis, for holding it down, duking it out with the technical difficulties. Thanks for tuning in. Free them all.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present the live broadcast for the 26th annual Good in the Hood Multicultural Music